Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, authorities say man arrested after 7-hour standoff in Dubuque. A standoff Monday in Dubuque that lasted nearly 7 hours ended in a man's arrest, authorities said. Jacob T. Ginter, 32, of Dubuque, was arrested on charges of first-degree burglary, violation of a no-contact order, domestic assault causing injury, domestic assault impeding air or blood flow, first-degree harassment, domestic assault while displaying a weapon, and 2 counts of child endangerment. Dubuque police were dispatched to 1155 Savannah Drive at 10:06 a.m. Monday for a report of a disturbance. Upon arrival, an injured woman was treated by first responders, the release states. A male subject involved in the original disturbance was inside the residence, but refused to come out, police said in the statement. After negotiating with Ginter for approximately 7 hours, during which police were granted a search warrant and arrest warrants for Ginter, he was placed under arrest without incident. Dubuque County Supervisors addressing needs with additional employees. County Attorney recommends filling a vacancy while other department heads seek to add positions in the next fiscal year. Story by Benjamin Fisher, benjamin.fisher@thmedia.com. The proposed Dubuque County budget for the next fiscal year includes a handful of additional employees, which county officials believe would fulfill specific but serious needs that have troubled departments in recent years. While increasing existing employees' pay to a more competitive level has been a top priority of the Dubuque County Board of Supervisors in building the budget for the fiscal year beginning July 1, supervisors also have agreed to additional employees in several departments to address significant issues. They include a human resources position chiefly assigned to Sunnycrest Manor Nursing Home, an assistant county attorney position who would, in part, provide county government counsel, a part-time post to help the county attorney's office review video evidence, and a full-time maintenance technician for county parks. Supervisors also supported an additional information technology generalist as the county's IT infrastructure network grows and another corrections officer for the sheriff's department. Of the positions listed above, the assistant county attorney position is fulfilling a post intentionally left vacant a year ago. As the Board of Supervisors built its budget for the current fiscal year, members worried about a then-unknown proposal in the Iowa legislature to restrict county property tax revenues. But counties had to submit their annual budgets before the legislature was done developing that reform. County Attorney Scott Nelson, then new to the job, said he could do without an attorney position he had asked to be filled, opting to handle county government counsel himself. After a year of increasing workload, though, Nelson said he would need the position this year. Supervisors have supported a $100,000 for that position. Last year, we agreed to hold off for budget purposes, Nelson said during his January 22nd budget presentation. This year, we need that for our caseload. We're pretty much in dire need as it is. Our attorneys are short-staffed and are observing the workload of the missing attorney. We need to reduce the workload or risk losing valuable attorneys. Nelson also asked for $50,000 to pay for as needed part-time work reviewing body camera footage for cases when it is necessary. He envisioned hiring a retired police officer to do the work, as such a person would already have an idea of what to look for. We started the cry a few years ago that every officer needed to wear body cams, he said. Well, now we have that. And now we have hours and hours of footage, but most of which is not useful. But we don't know what is useful, and it is not until we go through it, and it takes a lot of time. The Board of Supervisors has supported $50,000 for that work. County's Human Resources Director Chelsea Green also asked for her own additional position for the upcoming year. An HR generalist would primarily work with Sunnycrest Manor, the county-owned nursing home that faces the same problems of high turnover that private nursing homes do. We are pretty light in HR in general, she told the Telegraph Herald last week. The Sunnycrest facility alone, with their number of employees, could support an FTE full-time equivalent. With the high turnover, building complexity, and HR employee being there to address concerns sooner and being able to vet information, being spread among staff would really help us. Green told supervisors that best practice in the HR field is to have 1.4 HR staff per every 100 employees. The county HR department currently has Green and two HR generalists to cover more than 430 county employees. The position would get $89,269 annually with benefits. When Green was hired in 2023, she set about updating the county's employee handbook and other HR rules, which included some additional paid time off for county employees. During his budget presentation, Conservation Director Brian Preston told supervisors that while appreciated, some of those improvements had further stretched his staff. So he requested a new maintenance technician position in the department to handle property improvements, which take time out of park rangers and other positions' duties. With the addition of three holidays lately and the expansion of vacation time, there are just a lot more days off to fill, he said. People are getting 5 weeks of vacation after 10 years. There are a lot more days where we need more people. We have lots of projects, including timber stand improvement projects, we need help with. BizBuzz, Dubuque Dental Practice under new ownership. Soda Shop changes hands in Galena. Homestyle Diner opens in Guttenberg. Story by Grace Nyland, grace.nyland at thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from the tri-state area. This edition highlights developments in Dubuque, Galena, Illinois, and Guttenberg, Iowa. A Dubuque dentistry office is operating under a new name and new ownership. Wildflower Kids Dentistry, previously known as Pekosh Pediatric Dentistry, is now owned and operated by Dr. Lauren Shaw. Shaw has worked at the office since she moved to Dubuque last year. Shaw worked with the previous owner, Valerie Pekosh, for several months before taking ownership of the practice this winter. Before that, she worked at several other dental offices in and outside of Iowa. I'm originally from Carroll, Iowa, and my husband is from Maquoketa, Shaw said. It's great to be back in Iowa and to get to know all the patients and their families. While Flower Kids Dentistry focuses on pediatric patients age 12 and under, Shaw said, as well as adult clients with intellectual disabilities. Some teens are also served at the office where Medicaid is accepted. Shaw said many of the services at the dentistry office will remain the same as before, such as cleanings, fillings, and crowns. Shaw also treats patients with lung and lip ties, among other concerns. Shaw plans to remodel the office this year to provide an updated look to match the office's new name and branding. We've really been working to build up that positive work environment for our staff, she said. Next, we wanted to remodel and update the space a bit so we have a little bit more of a fresh appearance. Shaw said staff at Wildflower Kids Dentistry employ the tell-show-do tactic with patients to make sure they are as comfortable as possible with the dental process. That method includes showing off the tools that will be used in a procedure and explaining their function before using them. Terms often are simplified for younger clients, such as describing the suction machine as a silly straw. Staff are also trained to communicate clearly with parents, so all parties involved are educated and informed about a patient's dental needs. If you take some time to explain it well, it takes a lot of that fear away from the whole process, Shaw said. Wildflower Kids Dentistry operates 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday at 3455 Stoneman Road. The office can be reached by phone at 563-582-1478. Galena Soda Shop under new ownership. A local root beer store is under new ownership on Galena's iconic Main Street. Paul Pendola, owner of Galena's Spoon Company, last month acquired the Root Beer Revelry storefront at 228 South Main Street. The store is attached to DeSoto House Hotel and sells a variety of root beer flavors, floats, flights, and themed gifts. I've worked in food service for years, so this just seemed right in my wheelhouse, Pendola said. I've had my eye on the business for quite some time, so when it came up for sale, I jumped on it. The store was closed for about a week in February for some renovations and repairs after Pendola's acquisition, but now is open for regular business hours. Pendola said he doesn't plan to make any major changes to the storefront, which has been a Main Street staple for several years. He does plan to add additional root beer varieties as well as new styles and flavors of root beer floats. There's a lot of different root beer products out there to make fun flavors with, Pendola said. You can do a pumpkin cream, a salted caramel, or even a cinnamon churro float. Pendola said he hopes to operate the store in a way that is agreeable to both root beer fanatics and first-time visitors, making information about the different beverage varieties accessible without being overwhelming. Pendola added that the store also now will be a stop on the upcoming Galena Foodie Adventure Tours, a local food tour that takes visitors to a variety of dining establishments in the city. We've selected a special root beer flight just for that tour group, Pandola said. Seemed like a good way to get involved with other area businesses and find new customers. Root Beer Revelry is open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day but Tuesday. Additional information about the store can be found online at facebook.com/rootbeerhunter. Homestyle Diner opens in Clayton County. A new Clayton County diner is open along the Mississippi River with a focus on classic, homestyle comfort food. Driftwood Diner recently opened at 531 South River Park in Guttenberg. The locally owned diner offers a variety of hearty Midwestern favorites such as casseroles, tenderloin, and burgers, in addition to all-day breakfast offerings and various baked goods. My generation grew up eating dinner with family around the kitchen table, said owner Ann Moore. You had bread and butter, a good casserole, and some sides. I'm looking to recreate that feeling here in the diner. Moore has worked at various food service establishments for the better part of the past decade, but it wasn't until last summer that she seriously started considering opening a restaurant of her own. The last of her kids had recently graduated from high school, she said, and she heard of rumblings around town that people were jonesing for another food place that offered these kinds of offerings. Driftwood Diner now operates at the space formerly filled by picket fences, Moore said. So the community already is used to visiting the location for a good meal. She said she intends to build on that reputation by offering a rotating list of menu items in addition to the diner's enduring classics. The fresh baked goods and other desserts will change regularly, as will the soups and other items. I'm just excited to see familiar faces stop in from some of the other businesses I've worked at, Moore said. I want to offer something for the community, just somewhere nice to go and sit for a little variety in town. Driftwood Diner is open 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday. More information and a full menu can be found online at tinyurl.com/driftwooddiner. Business tip sought. Do you have an interesting story idea or news tip to share about a local business? Ideas can be shared with business reporter Grace Nyland at grace.nyland@thmedia.com. or by calling her at 563-588-5647. Here's a look at local law enforcement reports. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Department reported the following. Manuel A. Moncada Vega, 29, of Albuquerque, New Mexico, was arrested at 7:27 p.m. Saturday in Cascade, Iowa, on a charge of domestic assault. High school students put physics skills to test at a local competition. Story by Elizabeth Kelsey at thmedia.com. Kit Kunkel and Paige Howison stood inside the Loras College Fieldhouse on Monday morning, watching as a miniature mouse-trapped powered vehicle rolled across the floor. When the car came to a stop, the two Hempstead High School juniors exchanged high fives. Their car traveled almost exactly 5 meters, the target distance for that event in the Dubuque Regional High School Physics Competition. The event, organized by Dubuque Community Schools, drew over 50 students from four area districts to Loras on Monday to complete a range of tasks, such as building a catapult and constructing a bridge. It's all about the application of those science, technology, engineering, and math skills, especially engineering, said Angie Breitbach, the Dubuque District's educational support leader for secondary math and science. She said the district has hosted several school and district-level physics competitions in previous years, but this year's is the first to include other districts. Students from Allen McKee, MFL Marmack, and Clayton Ridge school districts joined the Hempstead competitors. Breitbach said a statewide physics competition featuring the same events will be held next month at University of Northern Iowa, but Monday's local competition was not a qualifier for that state event. Kate said she enjoyed the hands-on opportunity for applying the math and physics principles that the competition created. I think I want to go into aviation, so it's cool to learn about the physics behind stuff like this, she said. Loras students supervised as high schoolers made final adjustments to their catapults and cars and calculated the distance between two points in the gym as part of a measurement activity. In the afternoon, high schoolers would test the strength of their toothpick bridges and complete an optical slalom, which would require them to reflect a laser beam of light through mirrors to avoid various obstacles. Aaron Joy, head of the Loras Engineering and Physics Program, said competitions such as Monday's help pique young people's interest in science. It's something the science community has long been aware of. Kids will be interested in science or math in the middle of high school, but then they sort of drift away, he said. If we can do events like this to keep people interested, that's fantastic. After Kate and Paige successfully launched the Mousetrap car, fellow Hamilton students Dawson Fish and Nate Chappelle made several practice runs with their own cars. Nate, a senior, said his group used a 3D printer to create pieces of the car, such as the wheels, then added wheel bearings to harness the force from the mousetrap's snap. The design uses a rod and a piece of string to propel one of the wheel axles, he said. Nate said he enjoyed the trial and error involved in preparing for the competition's task. I love seeing the other group's ideas, taking some of those and then adapting them to our project, he said. Woman sentenced to probation for $15,000 theft from local retailer. A Dubuque woman has been sentenced to 2 to 5 years of probation for stealing over $15,000 from a local retailer. Samantha J. Rundy, 35, recently received the sentence from Iowa District Court Judge Margaret Lindgren in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County after entering an Alford plea to a charge of first-degree theft. An Alford plea is not an admission of guilt, but an acknowledgement by the defendant that sufficient evidence for a conviction exists. The charge stems from a 2022 investigation into employee thefts at Walmart 4200 Dodge Street. Court documents state that a Walmart employee provided police with dates, times, dollar amounts, still framed photos and video evidence of Rundy removing money from tills on 7 occasions. Rundy was responsible for turning in the registered tills, and the accounting office documents state. On several occasions, Rundy did not follow proper procedure, instead took some tills to the adjacent counter, where her back obscured the camera view of the tills in her hands, documents state. Police said she was seen on camera taking $100 bills and putting them up her sleeve. The total amount of money taken over a multi-month span was $15,500, documents state. As part of her sentence, she must repay that total to Walmart in full. Candidacy filing period begins for Dubuque County offices. The filing period for partisan candidates in Iowa's June 4th primary election began Monday. The filing deadline ends at 5 p.m. March 22nd, according to a press release from Dubuque County Auditor Kevin Dragato. All filings will be done at the new Dubuque County Election Office, 880 Central Avenue. Filing of nomination papers must include nomination petitions and an affidavit of candidacy for each candidate, according to a press release. Forms can be found online at sos.iowa.gov. Nomination petitions require 100 signatures. Clark Lecture featuring photographer, author, sailor, explorer rescheduled. A postponed lecture at Clark University in Dubuque featuring a photographer, author, sailor, and explorer has been rescheduled. David Thorson will present The New Age of Exploration as part of the McKinn Mylander Lecture Series at 7 p.m. April 3rd in Janssen Music Hall. The event originally was scheduled for October but was postponed. A press release states that Thorson is a professional photographer, author, sailor, and explorer who has worked both locally in the Iowa Great Lakes region and globally, sailing 75,000 miles across the world's oceans and polar regions. Exploring the Arctic Ocean led David to the issue of climate change, altering his life and work forever, the release states. Thorson hopes to inspire others to explore their own connections to nature, especially water quality issues. He is the author of the photo book Over the Horizon and a national fellow of the Explorers Clubs and lectures at universities and institutions across the globe. The Clark Lecture is free and open to the public. Dubuque Council backs traffic study for Central Avenue, White Street. Story by Andy Piper at thmedia.com. Central Avenue, White Street corridor study action. Dubuque City Council voted 7-0 to hire Bolton and Menk, Incorporated of Des Moines, Iowa, to study traffic patterns on Central Avenue and White Street from 4th Street to 22nd Street at a cost of $265,000. The background. The Central Avenue and White Street corridor began taking shape about 150 years ago as a business and residential hub. Once the streets were added to the state of Iowa's highway network, their main function evolved to become a thoroughfare to connect the north and south ends of Dubuque and to connect US 52, US 151, /61, and Iowa 3. In January 2021, the state of Iowa ceded management of the corridor to the city of Dubuque. Bolton and Mink Incorporated is tasked with providing solutions to calm traffic flow, create more livable neighborhoods, increase economic vitality through the corridor, and create a comfortable public realm for walking and biking. It is also expected to provide input on the pros and cons of changing traffic from one-way to two-way through the corridor. What's next? Council members are scheduled to review the contract specifications negotiated with Bolton Bank Incorporated at their April 1 meeting. Upon approval, final contract negotiations will begin. The study is expected to begin April 1 and should be completed by November or December. Eagle Point Park Matching Fund Action. Council members voted 7-0 to provide a $75,000 matching grant to accompany the city application of $50,000 to Jeffress Heartland Fund to complete a historic structures report on the Alfred Caldwell designed buildings at Eagle Point Park. Background: the prairie style structures were built using Works Progress Administration funding during the Great Depression in the 1930s. The city plans to collaborate with Heritage Works to inventory the status of the buildings and plan for repairs. Should the Jeffress grant be received for the structural analysis, the city staff, believe it would lead up to another grant application to Jeffress for up to $1 million in matching funds for structural restoration. What's next? With the matching funds approved, the grant application to Jeffress Heartland Fund can proceed. Ham House Grant Request Action. Council members voted 7-0 to provide letters of support and approval authorization for Dubuque Historical Society to apply for two grants for interior restoration and renovation at Matthias Ham Historic Site. Background: an estimated $1 million restoration project is planned for a Matthias Ham House. A $500,000 grant has been secured from the Jeffress Family Foundation. Grant applications are also being prepared for the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Fund for Historic Interiors and the Johanna Favret Fund for Historic Preservation. In 2021, the Historical Society submitted a report outlining needed repairs and restoration to the 150-year-old structure that is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Some of the top priorities are roof replacement, window repair, flooring repair, plaster wall restoration, bathroom remodeling, and historic wood restoration. What's next? Dubuque County Historical Society will submit grant applications with the goal of increasing available project funding. Free for all, tri-state activities that won't drain your wallet. The start of March features another week of free activities for area residents to enjoy. The Telegraph Herald continues to highlight many free community events in the area over the next 7 days. Enjoy these local offerings without dipping into your bank account. Do you know of upcoming free events that should be featured in the space? Email executive editor Amy Gilligan at amy.gilligan@thmedia.com. Today, 6 to 6:30 p.m., Holy Cross, Iowa, Kids Craft Club, DIY, do-it-yourself, temporary tattoos of the Holy Cross branch of Dubuque County Library District. Join Miss Kayla for a monthly craft. March Crafts is do-it-yourself, temporary tattoos, Tuesday, March 5th. 4 to 5:30 p.m., Dubuque Bad Art Night at Carnegie Stout Public Library, 360 West 11th Street for ages 10 to 15. Participants will make bad art with the worst art winning a trophy. Registration is required and can be made online via the library website. 4:30 to 5 p.m., Piazza, Iowa, Kids Craft Club, do-it-yourself temporary tattoos at the Piazza branch of Dubuque County Library District. Join Miss Kayla for a monthly craft. March's craft is do-it-yourself temporary tattoos. 6:30 p.m., Lancaster, Wisconsin. Yahtzee game night at Schreiner Memorial Library, 113 West Elm Street. Come to play Yahtzee and have fun with friends. Prizes to winners and a nacho bar to enjoy. Register by contacting K. Holman-Steffel at swls.org or call her at 608-723-7304. Wednesday, March 6th, 4 to 5 p.m., Platteville, Wisconsin Healthy Habits Student-Led Program at Platteville Public Library, 225 West Main Street. Teens join healthy students. Local students for a program about healthy habits. Eat some healthy snacks, learn some healthy recipes, and learn some fun exercises. No registration required. 4:30 to 5 p.m., Epworth, Iowa, Kids Craft Club. Do-it-yourself temporary tattoos at the Epworth branch of Dubuque County Library District. Join Miss Kayla for a monthly craft. March's craft is do-it-yourself temporary tattoos. 5:30 p.m., Dubuque Pokemon Club at the Carnegie Stout Public Library, 360 West 11th Street for ages 6 to 12. Hang out with other trainers and read, train, learn, and create. Play all things Pokemon. Registration recommended via library website. 6 p.m. Lancaster, Wisconsin, Million Dollar Habits at the Shriner Memorial Library, 113 West Elm Street. Join us in learning shrewd habits for financial freedom. Ann Cooley of Community First Bank teaches about smart financial habits, while Kristen Holman Steffel presents helpful tips given by millionaires. Register by emailing kholmansteffel at swls.org or by calling her at 608-723-7304. 6 to 7 p.m., Asbury, Iowa, Yard Spinners at the Asbury branch of Dubuque County Library District. Calling all handicrafters, bring your crochet hooks and knitting needles for an evening of crafting and conversation at the library. Thursday, March 7th, 9 a.m., Maquoket, Iowa, Coffee and Conservation at Hurstville Interpretive Center, 18636 63rd Street. Enjoy coffee, tea, treats, and conversation about conversation. Mike Griffin, a retired Iowa Department of Natural Resources Mississippi River wildlife biologist, will share about all things related to the Mississippi River, history, wildlife conservation issues, and more. Following the presentation, there will be an opportunity for discussion and social time. Registration is required in advance. For more information or register, contact Jackson County Conservation at 563-652-3783. 1 to 2 p.m., Dyersville, Iowa, Upcycle Greeting Cards at James Kennedy Public Library, 320 First Avenue East. Library staff will show attendees how to use the front of an old greeting card combined with glue and cardstock to make an entirely new card. Each card kit includes a greeting card front with coordinating cardstock and an envelope. 4 p.m., Dubuque Busy Buzzy Bebots at the Carnegie Stout Library, Public Library, 360 West 11th Street for ages 5 to 7. Read a story with the library's Bebot robots, then learn some beginning programming skills to help the Bebots navigate a maze. Registration required via library website. 4:30 to 5 p.m., Asbury, Iowa, Kids Craft Club, do-it-yourself temporary tattoos at the Asbury branch of the Dubuque County Public Library District. Join Miss Kayla for monthly craft. March's craft is do-it-yourself temporary tattoos. Friday, March 8th, 4:30 to 5 p.m., Farley, Iowa, Kids Craft Club, do-it-yourself temporary tattoos at the Farley branch of the Dubuque County Library District. Join Miss Kayla for monthly craft. March's craft is do-it-yourself temporary tattoos. 6 to 7:30 p.m., Maquoket, Iowa, Luminary Walk at Prairie Creek Restoration Area, 1215 East Summit Street. Let luminaries light your way along the trails as you enjoy a walk after dark at the park. Dress for the weather and wear good walking shoes. Saturday, March 9th, 10 to 10:30 a.m., Dubuque, Lollipops and Music for our Preschoolers Concert at the Carnegie Stout Public Library, 360 West 11th Street. The concert is for preschool children and their families. Children will leave the concert with a greater appreciation of music and lollipop to enjoy. 10 a.m., Dyersville, Iowa, Fun with Strawbies at the James Kennedy Public Library for ages 10 and older. Looking for some STEM-filled fun? Join us for other Strawbies coding and robotics programs. Strawbies are a STEM kit that allows users to build functioning robots from connectors, electronics, and plastic straws. We will build a cranky bat, a musical instrument, and a pig that is afraid of the dark. 10:30 to 10:15 a.m., Dubuque, Reading with Rover at Carnegie Stout Public Library, 360 West 11th Street. Children in kindergarten through third grade are welcome to read a short book to a dog in the Youth Services Program. Please do not bring your own pet. Kid-friendly dogs will be on hand. 11 to 1 p.m., Dubuque, Soul Food Celebration at the Multicultural Family Center, 1157 Central Avenue. The event will celebrate the history and culture of soul food. The program includes sampling food and cooking with demonstration with Franny's Barbecue. Registration is required and can be made by calling 563-582-3681. 1:30 p.m., Lancaster, Wisconsin, Planning Your Garden with Chelsea Holman, organic gardener at Shriner Memorial Library, 322 North Madison Street. Organic gardener Chelsea Holman will talk about organizing gardens and prepping soil for spring. Register for the event by emailing her or by calling 608-723-7304. You're listening to a reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 5th, 2024 on IRIS, the IRA Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Brett J. Leibold. Dateline McQuokkat, Iowa. Brett J. Leibold, 50, of McQuokkat, Iowa, formerly Benton, Wisconsin, passed away Thursday, February 29, 2024. Massive Christian burial will be held at noon, Thursday, March 7th, at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Benton, Wisconsin, with Reverend Bernard Rott officiating. Burial will be at a later day at the St. Rose of Lima Cemetery in Cuba City, Wisconsin. Friends may call from 9 to 11:45 a.m. Thursday at the church before the service. Casey McNett Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Cuba City is serving the family. Brett was born on January 10, 1974 in Monroe, Wisconsin, the son of Jim and Pat Murphy Leibold. After Brett graduated from Benton High School, in 1992 he earned a bachelor's degree from Phoenix University in Information Technology. He worked the last 12 years at RSM as a computer engineer. In 1999, he met Debbie Lennox. They married in 2003 and went on to have one daughter, Kaylin Ruth. Brett loved the Chicago Bears, professional wrestling, fishing, and spending time with family and friends. He is survived by his wife, Debbie, daughter, Kaylin, mom and stepdad, Pat and Jace Cherry, his sister, Nicole Leibold, and two sons, Luke and Noah, his in-laws, Mary and Ron Lennox, his stepbrother, Trevor Cherry, and many other relatives. He was preceded in death by his father, Jim, and grandparents on both sides of the family. In lieu of flowers, a memorial fund has been established. Memorials may be sent to Casey McNett Funeral Home, CO Brett Leibold Family, 123 North Jackson Street, Cuba City, Wisconsin. Online condolences may be left at www.caseymcnett.com. Rochelle M. Reyes Ernzen, Dateline Asbury, Iowa. Rochelle M. Reyes Ernzen, 67, of Asbury, died Sunday, March 3, 2024. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday, March 7th at Rye Funeral Home in Piasta. Services will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, March 8th at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Dubuque. Burial will be at Mount Calvary Cemetery in Dubuque. Patricia R. Cullen, Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. Patricia R. Cullen, age 91, went home to be with the Lord on February 29th. Her gentle nature and servant spirits touched the lives of many. Pat was born November 1, 1932 in Dubuque, Iowa. She was the oldest of 14 children born to Frank and Rita Shower Welp. Pat was united in marriage to Jerome Jerry Cullen on June 7, 1952 at Blessed Virgin Mary Catholic Church, Menominee, Illinois. Pat and Jerry were married 71 years, raising their 13 children on the family farm outside of Platteville. Pat enjoyed baking, cooking, gardening, canning, playing euchre, and cribbage. Pat especially loved spending time with her family. She was a member of St. Mary's Catholic Church, Platteville, where she was a volunteer in many capacities. She also volunteered at local nursing homes, always giving of herself and time. Pat's strong faith was the foundation of her home, and even in the midst of her battle with Alzheimer's disease, she could recite the Lord's Prayer without missing a word. She survived by her husband, Jerome, 12 children, Deb, Gary, Caps, Steve, Connie, Joe, Cullen, Marge, Cliff, Tennyson, Betty, Ken, Johnson, Kenny, Joan, Cullen, Terry, Patty, Cullen, Andy, Cullen, Missy, Renee, Klein, Hansel, Vicky, Dave, Steinbach, Jen, Kurt, Oppengarth, Tom, Melissa Cullen, and Jerry Stephanie Cullen, son-in-law, Bob Bush, 46 grandchildren and 41 great-grandchildren, three sisters, Joyce Edwin Cooley, Maisie Jim Schlegel, and Gail Joe Vosberg, three brothers, Paul Sarah Welp, Glenn Philly Welp, and Greg Diane Welp, and many nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her daughter, Connie Bush, and other relatives. Pat's family wishes to express her heartfelt appreciation to the kind and caring staff at Orchard Manor in Lancaster, as well as St. Croix hospice staff that assisted Pat in her final days. Memorial Mass of Christian burial will be held at 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, March 6, 2024 at St. Mary's Catholic Church, Platteville. Burial will be at Calvary Cemetery, Platteville, at a later date. Visitation will be from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the church. The Melby Funeral Home and Crematory, Platteville, is serving the family. Online condolences can be made by checking online at www.melbyfh.com. Margaret John, East Dubuque, Illinois. Margaret Marge Tranel John, 95, formerly of East Dubuque, Illinois, passed away Sunday, March 3rd at Sunset Place Park in Dubuque. Massive Christian burial will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, March 7th at St. Mary's Church in East Dubuque, with Father Dennis Vargas officiating. Burial will follow in the East Dubuque Cemetery. Family and friends may call from 3 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral Miller Funeral Home in East Dubuque, where the parish prayer service will be said at 2:30 p.m. Wednesday. There will be also be a visitation from 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. on Thursday at the church. Marge was born August 25th, 1928, at home in rural East Dubuque, the daughter of Edward H. and Lucille B. Kiefer Tranel. She was a graduate of Immaculate Conception Academy, class of 1946. She married Eugene N. Jean John on May 5th, 1951, at St. Mary's Church in East Dubuque. He preceded her in death on May 17th, 2011. She was formerly employed at Mark Marting's Shoes for many years. She was a member of the St. Mary's Church and its Altar and Rosary Society, a lifelong member of Catholic Daughters of America, Court Dubuque number 1287. She enjoyed gardening, reading, and was an excellent homemaker, baker, or cook. She loved a good game of euchre and volunteered for many years at Finley Hospital and Stonehill Care Center. Surviving are four children: Deborah Mike Hine of Libertyville, Illinois; Ellen Kathy John of Kirksville, Missouri; Betsy Rich Faust of Dubuque; and Greg Tanya John of Rowlett, Texas, and other relatives. She was succeeded in death by her parents' husband, Gene, a daughter, Carrie Culbertson, in 2008, and other relatives. The family wishes to thank the nurses and staff at the Finley Hospital and Hospice of Dubuque for their compassionate care of Marge. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.millerfhed.com. Robert W. Bogg. Robert W. Bogg, 66, of Dubuque, died Saturday, March 2nd. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, March 9th, at the Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, where services will follow. Diana K. Henry, Dylan, Maquoketa, Iowa. Diana K. Henry, 89, of Maquoketa, died Tuesday, February 27th. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Friday, March 8th, at Carson Celebration of Life Center in Maquoketa, where a celebration of life will follow. Burial will be at Mount Hope Cemetery in Maquoketa. James L. Hirsch, James L. Jim Hirsch, 81, of Dubuque, died Saturday, March 2nd. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, March 7th, at Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, and from 9 to 10 a.m. Friday, March 8th, at Sacred Heart Church, where a massive Christian burial will follow. Aline Derschel. Aline Derschel, 88, went home to be with the Lord on February 28th. She was many things, many people to her family. She was our matriarch, but she was also a teacher, counselor, loyal friend, writer, and cook. She was born in Minnesota, but grew up about everywhere. She sang in the school choir and played French horn and school band. She graduated from Stout at the top of her class. She worked as a teacher, was a recipe tester for Betty Crocker, and published a cookbook. After the kids were out of the house, she went back to school, became a certified nutritionist, and worked for WIC. Her passion for cooking and entertaining was obvious in the dinners and parties she hosted, sometimes entertaining over 100. She would beam watching guests fill every corner of the house and mingle, not wanting to leave. Just about everyone who knew her has been on the receiving end of a big pot of chicken soup when they were sick, and she loved knocking on your door with a plate of cookies just because. She loved to travel. Their escapades have taken them all over the world, including all 50 states and 3 continents. Family trips with the kids included New England, West Coast National Parks, Minnesota Parks, and most recently a Viking River cruise in France. But her number one priority was always her faith and family. She was one with our Lord, never wavering in the worst health crisis, and she knew where her eternal glory would be. Her devotion to her husband and family was evident in everything that she did. She will be greatly missed. We should have talked more, sent more cards and notes, but we all learned from your teachings and everything you did. Go rest high on the mountain. Your work on earth is done. Aline is served by her husband of over 66 years, Rich, her son Brad, Nancy Derschel, daughter Diane, John Ryberg, brother Chuck Ann Schinnebarger, 8 grandchildren, 10 grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. A memorial service will be held at Hope Church, 11893 John F. Kennedy Road, Dubuque, March 8th at 10 a.m. Donations may be made to the First Presbyterian Church of North Palm Beach, Florida Music Department, or the Finley Hospital in Dubuque, Iowa. Here's information on area funeral services. Jane A. Bartow, Lancaster, Wisconsin, visitation 10 to 11 a.m. today, Lancaster United Methodist Church, service 11 a.m. today at the church. Shirley A. Chapman, Dubuque, visitation noon to 3 p.m. Sunday, March 10th, Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road, service 10:30 a.m. Monday, March 11th, St. Raphael Cathedral. Harold E. Daniels, Dubuque, visitation 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, March 9th, Hoffensteiner Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road, service 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. James Faulkner, Cassville, Wisconsin, Celebration of Life, 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday, March 9th. J&J Sandbar, 1110 East Amelia Street, Cassville. Josephine W. Green, Dubuque, visitation 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, March 9th, Summit Congregational United Church of Christ, service 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. Richard A. Hannig, Piazza, Iowa, visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, March 8th, Leonard Funeral Home Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Dwayne T. Knox, Platteville, Wisconsin, visitation 4 to 7 p.m. today and from 10 to 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 6th, Mel B. Funeral Home and Crematory, Platteville. Service 11 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Suzanne L. F. Langle, Manchester, Iowa. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, March 6th, Leonard Muller Funeral Home, Manchester. Eileen Leland, Dubuque, visitation 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, March 9th, St. Luke's United Methodist Church, service 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. Mary A. Montag, Dyersville, Iowa, Celebration of Life, 5 p.m. Friday, March 8th, Denny's Lux Club, 3050 Asbury Road. Paul S. Oles, Dubuque, visitation 9 to 11 a.m. Tuesday, March 12th, St. Anthony's Catholic Church, service 11 a.m. Tuesday at the church. Robert A. Spore, Dubuque, visitation 9:30 to 10:15 a.m. today, St. Peter's and Paul Catholic Church, Cheryl, service 10:30 a.m. today at the church. Jacob A. Young, Dubuque, visitation 1 to 6 p.m. Sunday, March 10th, Hoffensteiner Kitchen Funeral Home Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road, service 10:30 a.m. Monday, March 11th at the funeral home. Here's a look at some other area news headlines. Delaware County Relay for Life informational meeting set for Saturday. Deadline Manchester, Iowa, an informational meeting on Delaware County's American Cancer Society Relay for Life event will be held this weekend. The meeting will be held at 9 a.m. Saturday, March 9, in the Educational Room at Regional Medical Center, 709 West Main Street. Team captains and members are encouraged to attend. Light refreshments will be served. Delaware County's 14th Annual Relay for Life event is scheduled for 5 to 10:30 p.m. June 28th at Delaware County Fairgrounds. Call 563-927-6320 for more information on Saturday's meeting. Free local event to offer assistance with smartphone usage. Dateline Asbury, Iowa. An upcoming free event aims to give users more confidence when using a smartphone. Dubuque County Library District is partnering with Dubuque Community Schools, Alta Vista Campus, to prevent smartphone savvy. Tech help hour at 11:30 a.m. March 26th at the library's district's Asbury branch, 5290 Grand Meadow Drive, according to a press release. Release states that attendees will receive practical tips for using smartphones. Alta Vista students will be available to provide one-on-one assistance for all types of devices, including Android and iPhone. The event is open to all ages, but is geared toward older adults. Clark Lecture, featuring photographer, author, sailor, explorer, rescheduled. A postponed lecture at Clark University in Dubuque, featuring a photographer, author, sailor, and explorer, has been rescheduled. David Thorason will present The New Age of Exploration as part of the McKinn Malander Lecture Series at 7 p.m. April 3rd in Janssen Music Hall. The event was originally postponed, scheduled for October, but was postponed. A press release states Thorason is a professional photographer, author, sailor, and explorer who has worked both locally in the Iowa Great Lakes region and globally, sailing 75,000 miles across the world's oceans and polar regions. Exploring the Arctic Ocean led David to the issue of climate change, altering his life and work forever, the release states. Thorson hopes to inspire others to explore their own connections to nature, especially water quality issues. He is the author of the photo book Over the Horizon, a national fellow of the Explorers Club, and lectures at universities and institutions across the globe. The lecture is free and open to the public. Love That Laughs. Galena Couple makes beautiful music together for 58 years. Dave and Joanne Mickelson were married on May 1, 1966 in Minneapolis. Story column by Michelle London, michelle.london at thmedia.com. Deadline, Galena, Illinois. Dave Mickelson and Joanne Sogan, both descendants of Norwegian immigrants, to Minnesota, met their freshman year at Augsburg College, a small Lutheran liberal arts school in Minneapolis. "It was toward the end of freshman year, I think," said Dave, now 80. "She was a soloist in choir. I probably first saw her when she was singing. She's a trained soprano. She married me instead of going professional." It doesn't take long for anybody to realize, as an 80-year-old now Joanne Mickelson sings a verse of, "Oh, blessed home that cheerfully receiveth," that Dave isn't kidding. That soprano voice is still crystal clear and beautiful. Joanne, a native of Mora, Minnesota, got the hint that Dave, who grew up in Minneapolis, was interested in her when they took a school bus trip to St. John's University in Collegeville, Minnesota, about a 90-minute ride from their school. By this time, Dave was also a choir member. "He sang songs to me all the way there," she said. But friendship came first with the couple. The two hung out with several other friends before they began dating in their sophomore year of college. "Joanne got sick and she had to go home," Dave said. "We reconnected my senior year. I called her and said, 'You know, I miss you.' So we started dating." The couple got engaged in 1964 over Christmas, and Dave gave Joanne his grandmother's wedding ring, delicately engraved with his grandparents' initials inside and with a tiny starburst on the outside. Joanne had an identical man's ring made for Dave ahead of their wedding. After a trip to Norway in 1965, where Joanne excitedly met her grandmother and many other family members for the first time, the couple returned to the States, where Dave joined the Army. "I was a terrible student," he said. "I partied all the time. So the school said, 'Why don't you take a break?' Vietnam was heating up. I didn't want to go there, but I knew I probably would. So I thought I'd enlist for Europe and see what happened." The couple married May 1, 1966 in Minneapolis. They have two sons, Chris and Jason. They have six grandchildren. After a honeymoon in Green Lake, Minnesota, at a cabin belonging to Dave's uncle, they made the trip to Heidelberg, Germany, where Dave had been assigned. It would be their home for the next 3.5 years. Three and one half years, and where Chris was born. Dave trained as a truck driver, but because he could type, he was assigned the job of company clerk. Eventually, he attained the rank of staff sergeant and worked as administrative specialist in the general's office. Joanne also worked first as an appliance repair shop, where she picked up most of her German language skills, and then on the base in the same unit where Dave worked. When they returned stateside, Dave completed his degree and took a civil service exam. He was offered a position with the Department of Agriculture and worked in various capacities within the food and nutrition programs. The job would take the family from Minnesota to San Francisco to Boston, Chicago, where they bought a home in the western suburb of Naperville. By that time, Dave was a federal regional director of WIC, Women's Infants and Children, and oversaw the program in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. Joanne sold real estate and then began working in marketing sales for shelf space management, an organization sold and installed shelving. She excelled at the job and traveled all over the country selling products and the company's services. But for Joanne, music was always in her genes. "My mother could have been a concert pianist," she said. "She was that good, but she had five children, so she would just play quite a bit in church. Son Chris of Mustang, Oklahoma, remembers their cross-country moves often took them away from extended family for long periods of time. But we never wanted for anything," he said. "We were always one happy family. We were this little unit that was away from family for a long time, but we never felt alone." For the last 10 years of his federal career, Dave was federal regional director of the food stamp program. He retired in 2001 and did consulting work until 2011. The couple moved from their home in Galena in 2001. The couple moved to their home in Galena in 2001. Joanne kept her sales and marketing job in Naperville for another year until she decided to retire a year after their move. "It just got to be too much back and forth," she said. Dave and Joanne have indulged in their love of the arts and music, immersing themselves in the community. Dave was president of the Galena Arts Festival for 10 years, an annual musical event that lost its steam during COVID. They sang in the Grace Episcopal Church Choir in Galena and were active members for many years of the Dubuque Chorale. My folks are super musical, Chris said. That is without a doubt the thing that they probably do together the most. They even took piano lessons together. Music is how they met. The Michelsons have done some traveling, going back to Heidelberg and to Paris for their 40th anniversary, where they had dinner high above the city in the Eiffel Tower. Oh, it was so beautiful, Joanne said. Chris said, in addition to their musical skills, his parents are great communicators. They've always been very open with each other, he said. They've been very loving, kind to each other. I don't remember any crosswords ever when I was a child. They worked really hard to make sure we got what we needed, and they always encouraged us and supported us in whatever we needed. For Joanne, a good marriage is certainly much more preferable than the alternative. Without it, you'd be pretty lonely, she said. Dave said there's common interests, and their desire to care for each other made a long partnership well worth the effort. We have our shared heritage in our music, he said. There's a lot of respect for each other when we make decisions together. And you know, I suppose when you get married, you're supposed to stay together, right? Do you know a long married couple? Love That Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who've been married for at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in this series, contact reporter Michelle London by calling her at 563-588-5655 or by emailing her at michelle.london@thmedia.com. Be sure to include the couple's names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. Here's a letter to the editor of the Telegraph Herald. The letter is from Rosine Schroman, Cypress Road in Dubuque. The letter says, Republicans right to reject border bill. Unbelievable. This is politics as it evolved over the decade for sure. Why would the Republicans agree to a last-minute deal that doles out billions in blank checks to Ukraine again, millions to Israel, our ally that President Biden is asking to go softly into that dark night, and billions more now to close the border, all in one bill? Biden created this mess. His response to Vladimir Putin moving tanks along the border of Ukraine was we would allow only so much invasion. What? Israel really just needs us to shut up and let them take care of business. Financial aid from U.S. nice, but they have this. There are enough laws to already control the border, use them, allow the Border Patrol to do their jobs. Biden has allowed this invasion for 3.5 years. It is an election year, so transfer the blame to the Republicans at the last minute. Fake to the right. I am proud that a party finally had the guts to stand up to the other party in such a scheme and say, hell no. Start listening to news other than the mainstream media. Read Government Gangsters by Kash Patel for frightening history. Again, that is a letter to the editor from Rosine Schroman of Cypress Road in Dubuque. Here's a letter from Ruth Bothwell, Summer Drive of Asbury, Iowa. Letter is headlined, Some Lawmakers Are Uninformed About Chromosomes. What drove me to write this letter was a photo showing state legislators wearing shirts with XY on them. It just reinforces why legislators should not be legislating about things they have little understanding of. I doubt that any Iowa state legislator is unaware of Down syndrome. They should know that a person with Down syndrome is not XY. Before passing stupid laws, they should investigate such things. There are actually three trisomies, 47 XXY, Klinefelter syndrome, 47 XXX, trisomy X, 47 XYY. However, there are actually tetrasomies, 2, 4 sex chromosomes, 48 XXYY, 48 XXXY, and 48 XXS. And believe it or not, humans exist with pentasomies, 49 XXXXY, and 49 XXXXX. And sure, there is also a monosomy, 45X. That is just the tip of the ignorance iceberg. Again, that is a letter to the editor from Ruth Bothwell, Summer Drive of Asbury, Iowa. And here's a letter from Mary Radloff, Prior Road of Dyersville, Iowa. She says, a front page article February 24th detailed a rule change allowing E15 gasoline to be sold in the summer in 8 states, something previously refused by the Environmental Protection Agency. Maybe it could have been mentioned somewhere in the article why E15 was previously banned. Under the Clean Air Act, E15 cannot be sold in the summer because it evaporates more readily in warm weather and can worsen air pollution. Maybe a future article could detail the effects of greater air pollution. Again, that was a letter to the editor from Mary Radloff of Prior Road in Dyersville, Iowa. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you very much for listening.